I was the youngest of seven. We had a very small farm down near Tokemall, 460 acres, which was less than a square mile. So, and there were seven of us, so it was... I didn't find out until a few years ago. My brother told me that the farm was very heavily mortgaged to try and keep us all going, because we all had to get a good education. Mum had been a school teacher. Dad... They'd met at Tokemall when Mum was teaching, and Dad was share farming with his brother during the First World War, married during the First World War before he went to war. So when they came back, they lived elsewhere for a while, but then I think they had two boys when they moved to Tokemall and had this bought this little farm, heavily mortgaged.
Mm.
All the boys went through Yanko High School, or Howard only went for a cup for 1 year, and then he was at... He and Dorothy were at Finley Intermediate High School. I was lucky enough to win a bursary and spend 5 years in Albury. The bursary paid £1 a week for my board at the girls' hostel. We all started in a little one-teacher school, little one-room school. The air conditioning was open the windows or close them, and a log fire. The schoolyard was a paddock out of the corner of a farmer's paddock, and the boys used to go over the fence and get old logs, dead logs, and drag them back and chop them up for the firewood. Can you imagine the kids nowadays?
No, never would happen, would it?
And the water was in a couple of rainwater in a couple of water tanks. The first year I was there, I can remember sitting on backless forms at a long desk. It wasn't all that long, because it seemed long to me as a little child, but now as I think of it, there couldn't have been more than three of us on it. And by the time I got into, that was first class, and next year I went into third class, I discovered. But by then we had dual desks with backs, you know, seats that lifted up, and inkwells.
Mm.
We had to make the ink ourselves. The department would supply ink powder, and we had a big bottle, and whoever was given the job would go outside, put a certain amount of the ink powder into the bottle, and then fill it up with water from the rainwater tank.
Wow.
And it had the cork at the top had two tubes. The idea was that if you put your finger over one, it would reduce the amount of flow. As you put it into the inkwell, you could have poured it into the inkwell out of the other tube. Didn't always work, and if it was my job, I'd have more ink on my hands.
Imagine you'd have ink on your hands for days.
Oh, yes. In those days, to keep the school open, you had to have a regular daily attendance of 9. But we only had 10 on the roll, including two little boys the teacher used to bring out from Tokemall,
right,
to keep the numbers up. They were her nephews. But the Sebastian children, Noel and Shirley, they seldom came, and so the average attendance dropped and the school closed at Easter time. And then because Mum had been a teacher, she was able to teach Ian and me for a while. He was in sixth class and I was in fifth. He went off to Yanko the next year, and I kept doing correspondence for a couple of years until I was old enough to go away to high school. But just living on a farm, we of course only had horses. We didn't have any machinery. We didn't have any electricity. You know, it was chop the wood, turn the handle of the separator. We had a few cows. Cream would be sent to Finley. It used to go to Narandra, and then about 1938 or 39, when the time the intermediate high school at Finley opened, at the same time the butter factory opened in Finley, and so it only had to go that far. We had a railway siding in Langunya, not far from us. The railway line was very close to our farm. And Dad would, with the horse and sulky, would take the big cans of cream up to the siding for the motor train, as it was called then, to take it up to Narandra, well, first of all, and then to Finley, and collect the empty cans that were dumped there.
It's amazing when you think about it's such a different way of life now. Even to live on a farm, it's very different, isn't it?
Yeah. I didn't really get to know my father very well, because all my parents all that much either, because they were both flat out trying to raise money to keep us alive. Dad worked the horses, the farm. We did get a bit of irrigation towards the end of the 1930s, but he was diabetic and he'd overwork, get low sugar, and come home and be in and have a turn, and it was pretty horrible for Mum, but went through it, lived through it.
And can you share a bit more about how you met your husband?
Well, during the Second World War, Australia had what they call the repatriation training scheme, so that when the ex-servicemen came home, they would be offered training. Now, it was while Bill was still in London, I read it in one of his letters, he filled in a form stating that when he came home, he would like to become a teacher, he would like to be teacher trained. He had been turned down before the war and was working in an office in Newcastle near the steelworks and didn't really like it. So when he came home, he did 2 years training as a teacher. And then in 1949, he was given his first appointment, which was up at Oburn Creek, up near Tarkata, a little one-teacher school. And after 3 years there, he went to Stroud Central School up near Newcastle. I went to university and messed around and didn't get a degree and went back to Albury and taught for 1 year in the Woodstock there. Then I found that I could do a one-year course at Sydney Teachers College for students who had done some tertiary education. So I applied for and got into that. We had a group of 20 or so, and it was the oddest group. We had a Scotsman, we had a couple of Londoners, we had one from Yorkshire, we had an ex-policeman, we had a Czech who had escaped from behind the Iron Curtain, we had some who'd done some 2 or 3 years of uni but had failed. So after that year, my first appointment was to Stroud Central School, and that is where I met Bill.
Mm.
And he'd been there for 2 years. He stayed for three more. We married at the end of 1956.
Is that when you were both there together?
Yes.
At that point?
Yeah. Yes, for 3 years we were there together. Mm. And boarded in the same house too. So Stroud is only a short distance, about 14 miles from his hometown, Dungog. So he would go across over the Stroud Hill to Dungog each weekend to be with his parents and to play golf. So I didn't see him. I can't remember what I did at weekends, so it's absolutely nothing to do in Stroud. But during the view, we were given the lounge room to our homework at night.
Mm.
It was always marking of lessons and so forth, always schoolwork to do at night.
Mm.
So we really got thrown into each other's company quite a lot, which was good. By the way, as I said earlier, he was married to golf when I met him.
Ah.
I always called him his second wife. So then we married at the end of that of 1956, and we'd applied for various places where one could teach secondary and one could teach primary, and we were at Grenfell. We were sent to Grenfell at the end of 1956. We were there for 13 years, but the last 4 years, Bill was principal of a little two-teacher school called Driftway, about 14 miles out of the town, and then it was reverting to a one-teacher school. So he was offered deputy principal at South Tamworth Primary or Kringle Primary. And because my mother was on her own in Albury and getting older, we thought we should come south. By that stage, we had two little kids. And so we moved to Wagga in 1970. He had a sixth class. There were four classes in each year at Kringle at that stage. He stayed there for about 7 years, and then he was offered deputy principal at South Wagga under Lex Bittar, and he took that for his last few years. And then in about 1983 or 84, computers were coming into the classrooms. Not for me, says Bill, and he resigned. Well, he'd been thinking about it, so.
Yeah.
And he was able to give more time to his golf.
That's interesting that computers, as we talked earlier about the fact that, when you grew up, inkwells were a big thing and you had to navigate that. And now fast forward to the 80s and computers coming in, and that's enough for Bill to say, oh, I don't know about this.
Yes. I mean, he was supposed to learn to be able to teach the kids. That was He was too old. I mean, you get past the ability to learn things. That gave him more time for golf, and he was in legacy, and he joined a Probus club, so he had, you know, plenty to occupy him.
And what about you? Were you teaching across this time as well?
No. We didn't have children, so we adopted, and one of the conditions was that I not go to work. So in 1965, when we adopted Ralph, I stopped teaching. I was able to go, after Margot started school, the second one, I was able to go back to golf too.
So moving to Wagga in 1970, can you share a bit about what it was like back then, how different it is to now, but also what it was like raising a family in Wagga in the 70s?
We bought a house in Chervey Park because we didn't want the kids going to the same school as where their father was teaching. In that street, there were a lot of kids, and there was always somebody coming to play with us, or somebody for the kids to play. They both went to the Chervey Park School, which was within walking distance because, well, it's the only way you'd get to school in those days. Bill sometimes drove over to Kringle, or he liked to walk over the hill, over Willens Hill, because we were right at the top of Fernley Road, where we were close to Willens Hill, and he could walk over the tracks over there. The streets were not as busy. I mean, I was quite happy with the kids, even 5 and 6 years old, walking to and from school. The only thing that worried me was the stray dogs. They weren't kept in on the leash as they are now.
And you're still in Wagga?
Yes.
So you love the community?
Yes. Bill had a minor stroke in 2000. That stopped him playing golf. And that really affected him mentally, because not only did he lose his golf, but he lost his blokes, because the after golf hour or two was as important as the golf itself. Early in 2008, we were getting ready to move out of our house. It had steps front and back, 8 at the front and 12 at the back, and he had a wheelie walker. It was just not a suitable house. And we'd sort of been hunting around. We'd had a look at the various retirement villages. Anyway, he had a fall on the back steps, banged his head, got a bleed on the brain, and had to go to St Vincent's to have his skull opened and the fluid removed. And that was the complete end of living there. We sold the house. We had a date to get out of it. So we moved here in August 2008. In 2014, in July 2014, he went into care at Nan Roberts because I had to have a hip operation. And I just could not, without a lot of pain, help him get dressed. He'd really deteriorated physically, his legs and things. And he didn't come home after that. He even stopped being able to walk while he was there during that 6 weeks that he was there. And in September he went into Wendy Hucker Nursing Home, and then he died in 2016. And on Anzac Day 2016, the kids came home, one from Sydney and one from Griffith, plus a couple of grandchildren, and we scattered his ashes. Where? The golf course.
Of course.
Well, he'd been a life member, so now he's a dead member. But yeah, that was that happened to be on Anzac Day.
Yeah, so how many kids? So you had two?
The two adoptees.
And then how many grandkids do you have now?
Three. Margot had three. Ralph has none. And one of Margot's, her eldest daughter, has three girls. I have three great-granddaughters, one aged 5 and twins aged 6 months.
Amazing. You're a great-grandparent.
Well, you know, they get to be great-grandparents a lot younger than I do.
Yeah.
Than I am.
Yeah.
I've talked a lot.
No, that's okay. It's been great. It's been really good.